Grand Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden is in Georgia now, getting an update on hurricane recovery efforts there. In Asheville, North Carolina, our Skylar Henry reports the community is sticking together.
We've seen neighbors helping neighbors, people bringing water, canned goods, even dog food to community centers, trying to help as much as possible.
People are fleeing the fighting in Lebanon. This American woman took a ferry to Turkey to escape the violence.
All the flights got canceled, couldn't book a flight, couldn't get out of Lebanon at all. And we were continuously hearing, you know, artillery and shelling, and it was just too much.
The dock worker strike is now in its third day. Scott Cowan is a local union president in Baltimore.
A lot of these folks were out of work for 2 months with the bridge collapse. Now with the strike here going on top of it, on the back 6 months later, almost to the day, it's tough for them.
On Wall Street, the Dow finished off almost 200 points. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Democratic nominee for president visits the birthplace of the Republican Party today. Vice President Kamala Harris campaigns in Ripon. It's Harris' fifth visit to Wisconsin since her campaign began in July. Donald Trump won Fond du Lac County by more than 15,000 votes 4 years ago. Trump campaigns in Juneau on Sunday. The vice president leads Trump in Wisconsin by 4 points in the latest Marquette poll. Poll director Charles Franklin says almost 100% of Democrats back Harris.
It's possible that we're overestimating just how loyal Democrats are. But the numbers, as you can see, have been pretty consistent for the last several polls. So there's reason to take them seriously.
Meanwhile, Tammy Baldwin has a 7-point lead over Eric Hovde in the race for U.S. Senate. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Public health vending machines are now available across Wood County communities. These vending machines provide free, high-quality health and safety supplies to anyone in need. The Wood County Health Department announced the placement of the machines in strategic locations across the county. In Wisconsin Rapids, vending machines are placed near Aftermath Tattoo, Mid-State Technical College, and the Wood County Riverblock Building. In Marshfield, they're at Mid-State, the Family Health Center, and St. Vincent de Paul. The machines are stocked with a wide range of health-related items, such as CPR kits, Narcan, fentanyl and xylazine test kits, first aid kits, and more. These items are free and available to those who need them. There's electronic recycling tomorrow at the Adams Columbia Electric Cooperative Friendship Office from 10 to 2. Members may bring up to 5 electronics per membership. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
He swings and drives one out towards right center. Taylor back, and it's gone! Mitchell, a 2-run homer, and the Brewers have the lead. It's 5-3.
That's what it sounded like on ESPN Radio as the Brewers beat the Mets 5-3 last night. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Today will be Game 3 of the Wild Card Series between the Brewers and the Mets. Jackson Churio hit 2 home runs, and Garrett Mitchell hit a go-ahead 2-run blast to move the Brewers in front in the win. Manager Pat Murphy said Churio had a great night.
Yeah, that's pretty special. Yeah, pretty special. A lot of guys contributed tonight. It was, you know, again, you saw what our team's about. What they've been about all year. They didn't quit. They kept every pitch. Yeah, a lot of guys' contributions, but Churio, oof.
First pitch tonight is after 6 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play the Phillies on Saturday and Sunday to start the NLDS. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM is looking for organizations that regularly distribute information about employment opportunities to job applicants or have job applicants to refer. If your organization would like to receive notification of job vacancies, please notify us at 1690 2nd Avenue South, Wisconsin Rapids 54495 or call 715-424-1300. WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM is an equal opportunity employer and encourages women and minorities to apply.
Calmer winds today with a slice of warmth reaching the low 70s. More and more clouds build in tonight, becoming mostly cloudy with a few spotty sprinkles possible while we're sleeping. Otherwise, tomorrow, bright and beautiful. A ton of sunshine and highs cooler in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers return home to face the Boilermakers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Big Show, Brady Ewing, former Badger, talking about Badger football. Also the author of Out of the Darkness, the story of Aaron Rodgers. Ian O'Connor, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this October 3rd, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today, we're going to speak with Kayla Rumbalski, community development educator with Wood County Extension. Looking forward to that. Right now, our great friend, Ben Eberlein, is with us, community engagement director with our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Ben, always good to see you, man.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Was it United Weekend? Was the last time I saw you? No, I saw you with picking up backpacks.
That's right.
Okay. So, but it's been a while, bro. It's been a while. It's good to see you. And great to have you in studio. Appreciate the United Way so very much. And one of the things that I appreciate about the United Way is not only their transparency with the United Way, but with the data that they collect and the data that they receive and sharing that with the community and really giving us an idea of why these services and these programs that the United Way offer are so vital to our community. And today is one of the more important times we get together and hang out and everything is going over the Alice Report. You have that data for us, Ben. Where do you want to start with this?
Well, I think the important part is to start and just, you know, tell people what we're talking about, right?
Right on. Absolutely.
You know, I know you're obviously an expert. You're really engaged in, you're a huge supporter of what we're doing and how we are helping the community. But for folks that don't know, what does Alice mean? It means we're talking about households that are, we call, you know, asset limited, income constrained, employed. So that's what Alice means. Basically, it just means households that are earning more than the poverty limit, but they still don't have enough to get by.
Yeah.
You know, these are households where, you know, working, often they're working more than one job. They still can't make ends meet. It's individuals, it's families, it's seniors, young adults. I mean, it's all demographics. So
statistically, you out there listening very well could be this person or this family. And if you are not, it could be your neighbor. It statistically, in our areas, that is how often it could be, where somebody, an individual in this situation.
That's the thing. It's a much larger, because I think a lot of us have this, you know, preconception of what mm-hmm. poverty looks like, or, yeah. you know, we think of things like the federal poverty limit, and we have these, you know, things that are, have been kind of like the status quo, or what we've, you know, come to think of as what we think of as financial hardship, But yeah, it really is something that affects a lot more people than we realize.
I mentioned this a lot growing up where I did. I ran into a lot of homeless people, a lot of homeless individuals growing up. Not one of them looked like any homeless person I ever saw in a movie. None of them. Not even close. None of them did. It's very seldom what you think it is, or seldom what you see in movies and TV and some of that. And that goes to poverty or any of these other kind of topics oftentimes. And we have the new report here, new data from recent data that is.
Yeah, absolutely. So every couple of years we get an update to the mm-hmm. to this data, and that helps us really understand, you know, what this looks like in our community. You know, we're not comparing, you know, apples to oranges here. We're not saying, you know, somebody who's in LA or New York City,
right,
you know,
right,
can't
right.
get by. We're talking about people here in Wood County. So mm-hmm. I think that's really part of the most powerful, you know, piece of this data that we can use that to really, you know, take a look at how we can make an impact in our community.
Yeah. Yeah. And was there anything as far as I'm sure we're going to get into a lot of, if not all of the data here today, but there were some new things about this report from previous years.
Yeah, I mean, every year they seem like, you know, we're getting a little bit more refined, getting a little bit better access to the information, and we're always getting new looks at how you know, the data is being represented. So it's nice to be able to have that. One of those things is they've recently started coming out with you know, these more focused versions of the reports. So we get our update to our general report that's going to talk about the whole population, but we also just received a update to a report that's just focused on what it looks like for children that are growing up in households that are living in financial hardship. So
that's interesting.
I know you want to get into some of these numbers.
Yes, let's go ahead and get right into it, man.
But yeah, definitely don't want to get too dry or, you know, technical on numbers and things like that. I just want to keep things pretty accessible so that people can really, you know, get an idea for what this looks like. But in our community, based on this most recent report, 35% of households in Wood County were considered ALICE or in poverty going into last year. So, I mean, more than a third of our households. When
more than a third. Just let that sit in for a second, everybody.
That's Wood County, right? That's United Way, Southwood, and Adams counties. We're really just that south, you know, the corner here in Adams County. When we zero in on our specific zip codes, that number is actually significantly higher when we're looking at municipalities in Southwood County, like Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, Buren, Port Edwards. So yeah, and not to make things sound extremely bleak, but I just, you know, it's just the reality of it, and it's important to understand what that means. And I'm not saying that, and obviously this is the important part, is we're making it it's a big difference between what we think of as poverty and what we understand as families that are, maybe they're living paycheck to paycheck or they're just getting by, but they don't really have the capacity to save for emergencies or you know, education or what have you. So these are, you know, it's households. ALICE is households that are earning more than poverty, but they don't really have enough to get by. They don't qualify for the assistance programs that we all, you know, kind of think of. Well, if you're in that situation, just you can rely on food share or Wisconsin shares for childcare or things like that. But problem is those households, they get a reduced benefit or they don't qualify for those because they're doing the right thing. You know, they're working hard. They're trying to get by, but you know, there's no room in the budget for tightening the belt because you don't have enough to cover all your basics and you're not getting all the support that you need to.
There's an exercise I like to do with this where for you listening at home and everything, you know, that and thinking about your own life and think about how things are going for you. And then think about if you needed to replace your roof or the refrigerator went out or your car suddenly just out of nowhere stopped working and you need a new one tomorrow, like what that would do to you financially. And I think a lot more people than they may realize when they come into this conversation and thinking, well, this isn't me, and hearing something like that and immediately realizing that is me or that could be me. And not only hopefully creating some empathy with that and part of why we're here today and why the United Way exists and everything, but also understanding, hey, this could be me, and I need to be a part of these things. I need to be helping in these things, or there might be services available for me. So many other layers, so many layers to this when we hear this data, when we think about take these numbers in.
Yeah, that's, you know, having access to this data is so important because that's how United Way, you know, we can understand where we can make the most impact in this community. You know, we support ALICE households we have fund 28 different programs in Southwood and Adams counties and 10 initiatives like single care, stuff the bus that we were talking about, initiatives and programs that help ALICE households bridge the gap, right? So maybe they're right on the cusp or, you know, like they're living paycheck to paycheck. Well, if they can, you know, rely on some of the programs in our community, that if it's a food pantry or access to housing resources or childcare, you know, relying on a program like that, that isn't what we think of as a traditional assistance,
right?
They can rely on that for a short period of time. And that can be a bridge to financial stability for them. They can build up, you know, take that, you know, period of support and start building up assets or saving for emergencies so it isn't devastating when that fridge does go out or the car breaks down.
One of the credits that I, the community, notice about the United Way is the way it is able to certainly tackle big topics, but even cover gray areas that isn't often seen by a lot of other people, but this data often brings to light. So, hey, we, you know, our communities really need diapers. You know, young parents out there could really use this, and that's not maybe common knowledge, but it comes across when you ask some questions or listen listen to your community or get data like this from Alice, or certainly all the above. All of that together gives you these answers to where we need to put our resources and, you know, where we could make the most impact. There are certain things that this data also gives when it comes to grants and resources from the state and federal level as well that are very vital to not only the United Way, but to all our communities.
Exactly. Every community looks different. And I think you nailed it, because that's one of the things that really stands out to me in this report. I'm a data guy, you know?
I am too, 100%.
That's why I get along so well.
Absolutely.
And I love being able to look in at that deeper level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously we all have conversations and, oh my gosh, you know, inflation this or, you know, employment that. But we can see with this report that we actually have, you know, 50% of our, in Wood County, 50% of our senior households. So households with, they're, you know, owned by individuals aged 65 or older, we know 50% of those are Alice or in poverty.
Wow.
That's over 5,000 households. And that's just seniors. So we can see that, you know, that's a data point you're not going to see otherwise.
Right.
So yeah, understanding how our community looks versus, you know, whatever nationwide statistics, I think that's so powerful.
And even on a local level, where us compared to the next zip code or the zip code next to it or anything, and how important it is to be able to know the differences of these, and certainly so that we can make the impact again where we can. The United Way is not going to be putting a ton of money into finding, you know what we need here in Central Wisconsin? More Packer gear. Like, no, we got it. We're good. We got a lot of Packer gear. We got that part base covered. So they're not going to, the data is not going to show that. The data is going to show, hey, we need to actually be helping in, you know, early literacy, or our community really needs more help when it comes to hunger or something like that. Is there some other stats, some other data there that you saw, Ben, that stood out to you?
Well, yeah, we mentioned the children in financial hardship. That was another report, like I said, the Allison Focus report that came out on just children looking at the statewide. Unfortunately, we don't have hyperlocal data for that report. Looking at the state, 41% of children in Wisconsin are growing up in a household that is in financial hardship. So again, like you said, we can look and say, okay, we really need to focus on, you know, maybe supporting families and how can we make sure that these children aren't at a huge disadvantage. And we're looking at, you know, the future then and how we can make sure that those children aren't, you know, growing up to, you know, into a cycle of poverty, that we can focus on Alice families who are households, like I said, because it's individuals, it's seniors, it's not just families. We can focus on helping, you know, but investing in the community in ways that help Alice households so they can reach financial stability, because they're right there, right? And it's one of those situations like we talked about that it's just out of reach. Mm-hmm. No matter what you're doing, if you don't have enough to get by, you're never going to get there. And I mean, how many times has something happened where, yeah, your car breaks down or your phone dies or whatever it is? It could be something small, but that small thing, it doesn't matter how small it is when you already don't have enough to get by.
And especially they add up. You know, it's very seldom is it just one thing and that's it. It usually that one thing happens and then a day or two later something else and then something else. And it feels like it's just, you know, it keeps coming. That stuff adds up on people. And just to take a second here, when you mentioned 50% of our senior households, 40% of our households with young children, that's already just taking those two groups is a gigantic portion of our society, of our community here and everything that are affected by this, that are in this report, that are in need of the services that we're talking about here. Especially, I'm going to keep bringing this home too. Anytime I am talking with you or Terry or anybody for the United Way, we're in go season here. We're in campaign season. And whether it's dollars and cents or volunteering, all hands on deck. Now more than ever, we need our community to step up and be a part of these things. And so much of the community we're talking to, not only do they step up, but they are in this report. Like, they are a part of this report. And that is just both beautiful and something that I don't know about other people, but really incentivizes me and really makes me want to get out there and do some good work here. And I can't think I'm alone on that.
No, and that's the thing, is that whether or not it might be true right now, but I think we've all been in a position where, you know, we probably identify with something in this report. Like, you know, maybe it's not true current, but we've all been in a situation where we've had a struggle. And so if you can't relate to that, then tell me what your secret is.
You know? Right, yeah, absolutely. I want to know what magic you grew up in. And another thing that stands out when you're talking about that, Ben, to me, and all the services that are offered with the United Way and the things that are the programs that exist with the United Way, intertwined in that is people getting a hand up. None of these services are about like kind of keeping helping somebody stay where they are necessarily. Everything is about, hey, here's help. Here is a hand. I want to help you up. I want to help you get on your feet. I want to help you be able to do this on your own, which as somebody who comes from that background, I never met one poor person that wanted a handout. I've never met a poor person that didn't want a hand up, that didn't want a chance to get on their own feet. Very seldom are you going to meet somebody in those situations that are happy being in those situations. You want to get off your feet, but we've also all grown up knowing that you want to really grow. You got to learn to fish. You can't just be fed a fish. You got to learn to fish. And oftentimes the United Way is helping people learn to fish, helping people get on their feet, like you talked about there. So I think that's an integral part of what we're talking about here is not only are they getting this data and the people that need this data and the services that can help them with that, but what happens after that and how they get on their feet and maybe they can help out somebody or they certainly become great paying taxpayers or working at a job in the community or something. It all is a domino effect that adds up to a better community, a better society.
Exactly. And just again, to not make things sound like, you know, exaggerate or over, you know, too bleak. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that everybody that is considered Alice is, you know, living on the street when that's obviously not true. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, to your point, that nobody wants to be in a position where they're worried about how they're going to pay their bills at the end of the month or end of the week. Yeah. Nobody wants to be in a position where they're thinking, I should probably skip a meal today so right. my kids can eat or I can fill the car with gas. So that's, and especially now when we're looking at the more, you know, if we're talking data here, you know, we're looking at some of the inflation rates and things that, you know, we've seen double the inflation 2021 to 2023 than is typical for, you know, the last couple decades.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of just exasperates these kind of problems and situations. But yeah, if we can help support, invest in programs in our community and in these initiatives that can then help these households bridge that gap and get to a place where they are stable and they aren't dependent on even, you know, the small assistance programs that, like I said, nobody wants to be worried about how they're going to be paying those bills mm-hmm. or putting food on the table. But yeah, by investing in these programs and making sure that we are in the right lane, by, you know, referencing these local data points that we can see where exactly to make an impact to help the most people get to that stability. That's
what else did you see in there that you want to make sure that we touched on before we wrap up this segment or the time together, Ben?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the important, I also just want to come back to, obviously we have all this data, mm-hmm. but and which is great, mm-hmm. but you know, if anybody's still awake out there, hopefully we haven't put everybody to sleep. You know, what do we do about it? You know, it's great to have the info, but why are we talking about it? You know, mm-hmm. and so again, coming back to the actual question you just asked me, you know, yeah. the thing that stands out, I think, and this isn't necessarily a new data. You know, this is something that we've seen consistently
yeah.
with each update to this Alice report is that for every household in poverty. Because the poverty rate's been pretty steady, mm-hmm. you know, for the last, you know, several.
It's been holding water.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, yeah. it's anywhere between 10-12%.
Yeah.
But what we see in this Alice report is that for every household in poverty, there's two more that are earning more than poverty, but they still aren't getting by. So that's a huge chunk mm-hmm. of our population. That's a huge portion of, you know, the households that we're talking about that we can help, that don't have access to all the assistance that we typically think of, that if they had a little bit of help, they would be stable, that we can, you know, the rising tide, right, that yes. lifts all boats,
yes.
that we can shift to, you know, they can be contributors and you know, help set the next generation and their children and everybody off on the right foot.
It's really eye-opening. So much of what we've talked about today is really eye-opening, and there's a lot more data, a lot more for people to take in and research, look at. Ben, is there ways for people out there listening to look at this data, to see the Alice report?
I'm glad you asked. Folks, you can head out to our website, uwswac.org, and there's links to the local data report or Alice reports. There's a lot of really interesting interactive dashboards, and like I said, they're always coming out with new tools and new views, mm-hmm. and so it's really fun if you like data at all. You could play with that stuff, and if you don't care about the, you know, the actual data, you can just go look at, you know, the high points, because all of the stuff that I've mentioned today is really easily summarized at the top of the page. So you head out to our website, uwswac.org, and click the link to the Alice report.
And thank you again, Ben, for going through that with us. I really do appreciate it, and encourage everybody out there listening to dive into that data, take it in, and really, when you're reading these numbers, give it a moment. Don't just read right consecutively here. Take a beat. Let that data sit in. 50% of our senior population, 40% of our children. So much of this stuff, I think, needs to have a moment to set in, as well as reading it and researching it. Ben, in the last minute or so we had, I did want to take a moment to mention, again, Day of Caring is right around the corner to everybody. We're still collecting lawns, and we're also still looking for teams and people to join us for Day of Caring, which is, of course, coming up Saturday, October 26th. The gang will all be meeting from 8 to 9 over at the Grand Rapids Lions Club. And, of course, the raking will be going from about 9 to 1. It's really something that you can wrap up in your morning. And just want to remind everybody that we are not only collecting lawns, but looking for people to do this.
Yeah, exactly. We just mentioned how, you know, a significant portion of our senior population needs a little help. And that's what we love about Day of Caring. It's such a fun and really incredible to see how many volunteers come out on one morning and just head out like a small army with rakes.
Yeah. I think it was last year, I was with Seth and Beth and the boys as a team. And we were over past the viaduct. And I have never been up that far outside on the east side of town before doing it. And on the way driving over there, saw nothing but just purple shirt, or I think it was purple shirts, but just different, all these different colored shirts, and the Day of Caring shirts. It was so cool to see. And throughout the whole city, you see it. And I love that. It's one of my favorite days of the year. There are red shirts you'll be seeing out there this year. Not only are you going to be able to know that you are not alone in this and working with your community on this, but it's strangers helping strangers. And we don't have enough opportunities for that in our society. It's a really cool opportunity to do. I'll mention a little bit getting closer to the date, but I've gotten to do this a couple of times, and it's some of the best people I've met in town are doing it. It's been through this, through Day of Caring. It's a great time. Sign up, whether you are signing up a lawn or you yourself would like to sign up, you can do that at uwswac.org. And again, the Alice Report, all that data, as Ben was telling you, is right there for you at uwswac.org. Be sure to follow the United Way on social media. Keep up to date on all the good things they're doing over there, and share the things on your social media. You just never know who might see it that wouldn't otherwise. Ben, always good hanging out with you, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, there's been some chatter about the economy and how it's getting a little stronger these days. Gasoline has just started to dip below $3 a gallon in much of the South and Midwest. It's just over $3 in Wisconsin. And its cost is nearing a three-year low nationally. Grocery prices that were spiking during the pandemic are not climbing in the same way, finally. Mortgage rates are down more than a percentage point from where they were recently. And the overall inflation rate has returned to normal levels. And that recent Fed rate cut is a sign that the government expects inflation to stay down. I love hearing about that Fed rate cut, because it means that there's lower mortgage rates, there's lower car loan rates, and hopefully there's some lower credit card interest rates. Wahoo! For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Have you thanked a farmer today? Wisconsin's nearly 65,000 farms contribute over $104 billion annually to our state's economy and over 435,000 jobs. Please join the University of Wisconsin as we host our 11th annual Celebrate Agriculture game on October 5th against Purdue. Sponsored by Cleary Building Corp, Culver's, Case IH, Wisconsin Corn, Compeer Financial, FS Envision Seed Corn and FS High Soy Soybeans, and Wisconsin Pork Association. Thank you to our sponsors for making the Celebrate Agriculture game possible.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 45 pets displaced by Hurricane Helene are now in animal shelters around Wisconsin. The Humane Society's Lisa Bernard says the idea is to open up space in affected areas to handle local pets lost and reunite them with their owners. The Humane Society will make an announcement when the animals here are up for adoption. As many as 82 Wisconsin projects tied to clean energy could qualify for tax incentives under the Inflation Reduction Act. Emily Pritzko of the Wisconsin Building Trades Council says they'll offer good jobs.
Excellent pay, flexibility, and we are rising to meet that.
Wind turbine technicians and solar installers are the fastest growing occupations in the U.S., but union leaders say not enough people are aware those jobs are in the pipeline. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. You may notice discolored water for a short time this week. Fall hydrant flushing is taking place in many locations around our listening area. The Wisconsin Rapids Waterworks and Lighting Commission will be conducting hydrant flow tests today beginning at 9:30 this morning. They're focusing on an area around Family Natural Foods and also Plover Street near the Catholic Church. Police departments around the area are reminding everyone to lock your car doors. Studies have shown that the most burglarized or stolen vehicles have been left unlocked. Officials say you should always lock your vehicle, even if it's parked in your driveway or garage. Never hide a spare key anywhere in or on your vehicle. Most thefts happen when valuables are left unattended, and most property stolen is left unattended or unlocked. Remember, responsible citizens don't attempt to enter unlocked vehicles that are not their own, but criminals will. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Lots of really respected actors have passed away the last several days, including Maggie Smith, Kris Kristofferson, John Ashton, and now John Amos. Amos starred in Roots, the TV miniseries from the late 1970s, and Norman Lear's hit show Good Times. His other credits included Coming to America, Uncut Gems, and Die Hard 2. Amos was 84 years old. It seems no one has told Haley Welch, also known as the Hawk Tua Girl, that her 15 minutes of fame are up. First, she was an internet sensation, then she threw out a few first pitches and appeared on popular podcasts and sold some serious merch. But she's not stopping there. Now she has her own podcast on Spotify, and it is the third most popular. The podcast is called Talk Tua. Those who tune in to Talk Tua can expect to hear Haley chatting with celebrities, exuding Southern hospitality, and giving relationship advice. I thought Hawk Tua was relationship advice. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Decreasing clouds tonight, cool, low 40s. Sunshine and staying cooler tomorrow, highs upper 60s to 70. Breezy and sunny for the weekend, warm Saturday mid-70s, cooler low 60s Sunday. Highs jump back into the 70s for early next week. It's 71 right now.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control. So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning on Up North News Radio. Just about a month to go till Election Day. Where do we stand on all the big races? Plus, what's next for the Brewers?
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, October 3rd, 2024. Have your host, James, behind the mic, and we are joined right now by our great friend, Kayla Rombalski, Community Development Educator with Wood County UW Extension. Kayla, good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Always enjoy talking with you. Love talking about things over that Extension are a part of. And one of my favorite events we do in this area is Science by the River. It feels like it's been going on for so long, and at the same time, it really hasn't been going on for that long. But it has become a staple in the area, something that we look forward to this time of year. Very excited to diving into it with you, especially this year. Mother Nature's playing along.
Yes, Mother Nature is playing along. That's a huge win. So last year, if I recall this event, I was sitting there trying to make the decision of, do we cancel? Do we postpone? Yeah. What do we do? Mother Nature did not cooperate. There was lightning and thunder, and it was not a good place. So we ended up just canceling the event entirely. But my hope, and it is that Mother Nature is cooperating this year, and my hope is that we'll be able to have the event without a hitch this weekend. So we're super excited.
Yeah, Saturday is looking beautiful. They're looking at a high of 74, sunny skies. It should be a really nice day Saturday. Sunday might be a little bit different, but that's Sunday. We're not worried about
that's Sunday.
It's not our business. We'll be done by that. And that's saying something, because there's a lot going on with Science by the River.
Yes. So this is a great event. Whether you've come before or you've never visited, I encourage you to come on out. So Science by the River is really a celebration of all things science and natural resources in our community. Obviously, we are fortunate in Wisconsin Rapids to have a beautiful river that runs through the heart of our downtown and of our community. And so this event really is a chance to showcase that asset, that beautiful, recreational asset in our community. But then more than that, to talk about science and to talk about the careers and the activities that are related to science. It's an event for all ages, but particularly for kids that come, you know, they're going to have an opportunity to do some hands-on citizen science, really get engaged and learn from different organizations in our community all about science and STEM.
There's a term that comes up every year with this event that I just love, and you just got done saying it, citizen science. There's something so unique and cool to me about that. And one of the things that I enjoy about that, especially when we're talking about kids, is the spark that can happen from this event. You just never know when a young child might have an idea or a passion sparked for them. And we certainly need, and part of the fun of this event is the idea of sparking young minds and getting them involved in science at a young age, and getting them to be one in, you know, maybe even have find a career in science at a young age. Even if not that doesn't happen, getting an appreciation of their community, of their area, of nature. There is no negative effect. There is no downside to this event.
Absolutely. And even just to understand what science entails. So citizen science, I think, is so important, because oftentimes when we say the word science, we think of beakers and test tubes in a lab. And science is so much more than that. It's all around us. And so when we say citizen science, you know, going out and counting the number of birds that you see at Nisida National Wildlife Refuge, that is citizen science. You are contributing to scientific discovery. And that's just amazing. It's kind of a cool thing.
Science is, especially you look at the history of discoveries or anything, so many of the greatest discoveries that we've had are done by citizens sometimes. You have a lot of really cool moments in the scientific history of just a citizen doing this or somebody like that. So there's a lot of unique opportunities, and almost all the data that scientists collect, a citizen had a hand in collecting some of that data, as Kayla's pointing out there. It's something that you can be a part of too with this event. When it comes to the details of this event, Kayla, let's dive into that. When is it taking place? The who, what, when, where, why?
Great question. So happening this Saturday, October 5th, from 11 to 2. And as I mentioned earlier, this is along the beautiful Wisconsin River in our community. So it's has two starting points, or you can pick it up at any point along the trail. It goes from Ben Hansen Park in Wisconsin Rapids all the way down to the Farmers Market, which is over by Veterans Memorial Park. There are stations all along the river trail between those locations. So there's a station at Lion Park. There's a station near the Wisconsin Fire and EMS Memorial. So you can certainly walk the trail. It's about 2 miles from start to finish. Walk, bike, ride, whatever is your preference. There will be free bike rentals available from River Riders Bike Share. You can just use the code SCIENCE on that bike checkout station to grab a bike Or you can also, you know, for folks that may have mobility issues or they're not able to walk that distance, there are multiple spots along the trail where you can park on a side street, go visit a couple of stations nearby, and then continue to meet up with the trail in another spot and park in, for example, Lion Park has a parking lot. So park at Lion Park and park at Lion Park. That's kind of funny.
It was nicely done.
Park your car. Right. and then continue along the trail. So lots of opportunities to just come out and celebrate science with the people in our community.
One of the thoughtful things I think about this event is, you know, some, especially a Saturday at this time of year, families can be busy and maybe you want to take in the event, but you don't have time for the whole event. The idea that, well, maybe there's something that's closer to your house, you know, you can go to, or you can fit two of these in and get those in and then go to practice or go about your, what else you have planned for your Saturday. It's a really cool part of this process that you can kind of pick and choose where you want to be in those locations. Can we talk a little bit about what is going to be featured at these different locations?
Of course. So we've got a number of different stations that will be featured. One of the stations that I am most excited about and that I'm excited to take my children to is the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Science Department will have a mini marshmallow catapult that you can make and take home with you. And this is a long-awaited station. So actually 2 years ago, unfortunately, the volunteer that was running that station was ill and was not able to come the day of the event. Last year, the event was canceled. And so he has had all of the materials for this station for 2 years that he's been holding on to. And I am so excited to finally see it happen and get to make it my own.
Those poor marshmallows.
I'm gonna make my own mini marshmallow catapult.
Yeah. You're finally getting to. You've had the architecture. You've had the work, the blueprints for this for a while. You're waiting to put this thing to make this thing.
Exactly. Yes, I'm excited.
That's awesome.
So in addition to that, there's lots of focus on watersheds. Again, we mentioned that beautiful Wisconsin River. So folks can come out and learn from the Center for Watershed Science and Education at UWSP. They'll be giving some instruction about groundwater, and you can actually bring a water sample for a free nitrate screening. So that's something, you know, that's great for kids, but also for adults. It's an opportunity to get that testing of your water done free of charge. We'll also have the 14-Mile Watershed Alliance, Pete and Well and Castle Rock Stewards. So some of those private groups that are really focused on maintaining water quality and protecting these beautiful recreational assets in our community.
Coming back to the screening part of this, for a lot of people, and I've heard this from a lot of community members, including my own grandparents when they lived on Lake Camelot and stuff, sometimes they have good intentions with these things, but, you know, people get busy and they have a lot going on. Being able to offer this as a add-on to an event can oftentimes be the thing that people, well, you know what, I was going to go down there anyway, I'll get this done too. And that's just great data, but also really great for them. It's a really unique thing to be able to offer as a part of this event. And another, you know, beautiful part of this event to me is the idea of sharing this information and these different organizations, whether it's the UW Pointers being down there or the Nisida National Wildlife or any of these great groups being able to share this information and people coming to us with it, you know, not having to necessarily send it out there, but you're here, check out this or look into this and being able to spread that kind of information.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so we're really excited. We've got a lot of great partners on board. And as you mentioned, you know, there's an opportunity for you to visit multiple great events that are happening in the area on that day. So we recognize that the Nacoosa Giant Pumpkin Fest is also October 5th through the 6th. Their hours are a little bit longer, of course, and they're also open on Sundays. So come on out or go there first to Giant Pumpkin Fest, and then at 9, spend some time there, and then maybe at noon, grab lunch from a local entrepreneur in Wisconsin Rapids or Nacoosa, and then head over to Science by the River until 2. You've got a wonderful schedule lined up for great fall fall activities and celebrating Central Wisconsin.
Your Saturday is covered. Your Saturday is covered, everybody. We got it covered for you right there. Boom. You got two great events going on in the community, and to encourage you to attend both of them and enjoy both of them. We're speaking with our friend Kayla Rombalski from UW Extension. Kayla, one of the other things that'll be there will be the Discovery Education Station. They're going to have some electricity and rocketry down there. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
There are animal ambassadors as well that you can meet. That is a really unique part of this also.
Yep. Yeah, so there's just a lot of opportunity to explore and learn and recognize the work that these great partners in our community are doing.
One other thing that stands out to me about this event, and not only have I thought of, but I've heard from parents about, and I know that as kids and growing up, being a parent and everything, their brains are sponges, and they take so much in, and they see so much more of what we do as adults than I think we realize. And when you are an adult, when you're a parent, bringing your kids down for this event or something, and they see you paying attention to nature, paying attention to water quality, paying attention to these topics that may seem really big to them and they may not be able to wrap their brains around, but they see mom or dad or their guardian or somebody caring about these things. That sinks in. They take that in.
Absolutely.
When they see an adult caring about science, caring about a marshmallow, a catapult or some of these cool things that are going on at these different stations, they see that and they soak that in too. You're not only giving them an opportunity to have maybe something spark in their brain and then find a new passion or just learning something about their rivers or nature or water quality, but they're also seeing that you care about that. And that goes deeper than I think we realize as adults oftentimes. And I always like to note that when it comes to especially this event.
Yes. Yes. Well said, James. I couldn't have said it better myself.
I just reading what you told me to say, Kayla. I'm joking. And I'm learning from you. I learned from you guys at Extension. That's really where a lot of that comes from, because it's sure. A really cool part of it. That's not me. I'm an adult too. I do these things too. I sometimes get caught up in things and forget that how much kids are picking up and everything. And it's just a really noteworthy part of this event that is also a really fun part of this event. We're looking
Absolutely.
Forward to it. How are you guys feeling? You feel pretty set up for? You feel ready?
Yeah, we're feeling pretty confident. So
good.
I've got some great colleagues that have been planning this event. We've also had really good community support. So I would be remiss if I didn't thank the Encourage Community Foundation for their support of Science by the River. We're so fortunate to have them in our community and to have them supporting events and organizations like ours. So, yeah, we're pumped. We're ready to go. See you Saturday.
Just say a big shout out to Encourage and certainly the Clean Green Action and, of course, our friends at UW Extension. Well, before we wrap up, we'll get the details of this event again out there. But I did want to take a moment, Kayla, and talk a little entrepreneurship with you. I have this great new idea. I have this business idea I want you to think. No, I'm joking. What did you want to discuss as far as entrepreneurship?
Yeah. So Extension, as Extension educators in our community, we wear many hats. And so I'm excited about Science by the River, but I'm also excited about some really cool programming that we're doing in Wood County with entrepreneurs, with folks that may have a business idea that they want to get off the ground or may need a little bit of support to start their own business. So I wanted to say that tonight, actually, so this is very timely, tonight at Mid-State Technical College from 5 to 7 p.m., and this is Mid-State in Wisconsin Rapids, we are having a first pitch idea contest. Mm-hmm. So the point of this idea contest is that it is low stakes. It is a chance for students at UWSP and at Mid-State to share a business idea that they have been working on, and it's really, really low impact or low...
low stakes.
Low intimidation. Yeah, low stakes. Mm-hmm. So they have one slide, 1 minute, and they have the opportunity to win $100. And so that doesn't sound like a lot, but $100 for someone who has this business idea that's just been kind of rattling around in the back of their head is a pretty significant amount. That gives them a chance to actually pitch their business in front of folks and then be able to take it to the next level. So we're really excited about this. We have seven entrepreneurs that will be pitching their idea, and audience participation determines the winners. So we want everyone to come out and support this event. Each person who comes in the audience will be given a number of chips that they can chips, meaning like poker chips, not food chips. We might feed you too, but that's separate.
So
each person will be given a number of chips that you'll be able to hand directly to the entrepreneur who you want to support. And then the folks that have the most chips, the five winners, will take away $100 each to support their business. And when I say low stakes, I mean that, you know, there are other pitch competitions in our area that are $5,000 prizes. It's, you know, you need to have a whole slide deck prepared with a 5 to 10 minute presentation. You need to be able to answer questions like they do on Shark Tank. So answering questions from the judges. And that can be really intimidating if you've not spoken in front of a group before, if you have this idea that you've never actually talked to anyone about. A lot of entrepreneurs are kind of scared away by that. And so we wanted to really reduce that barrier and just give students a chance to talk about their business idea in a way that feels more comfortable. And then, you know, theoretically, once they've taken this first step and they've gotten some good feedback, they can go ahead and take a next step, which would be to grow their business by doing one of those additional pitch competitions, or to go to a lender and make a proposal for funding in a larger amount. But
it feels,
we're really excited, and so wanted to encourage folks to come on out.
It feels like a Shark Tank without sharks. It feels like a much funner way, in some ways, but a better way for you to be able to, you know, get this first, you know, kind of at bat in. Much in life, and especially when it comes to public speaking, it's repetition. The more chances, the more you do it, the more comfortable you feel. And you could be the greatest, you know, public speaker in the world, but you need reps. You need a chance to be able to, you know, get your product out there, talk about your product. This also gives you immediate, like, kind of feedback. Which you don't always get with a lot of things. And even in some of these competitions, you don't necessarily get that immediate reaction from the community, from the audience of, hey, what do you think of this? Gives you also an opportunity to take these ideas and maybe go back to the lab and tinker with them a little bit and fine tune them before you give your big, you know, opening with that and really hit the ground running with it and everything.
Exactly. Yes. So we are just super excited about this event and hope that we can get some really strong audience participation. So if you're listening to this, come and join us. It's not too late. You don't have to register. You can just show up.
That was my next question. So does this event have a name, Kayla?
It does. It's called the First Pitch Idea Contest.
Yeah.
And you can find more information on Mid-State's website. This is one event in a series of these offerings. So the first time that it's being hosted in Wisconsin Rapids, I believe in February-ish, February, March, it will be hosted in Stevens Point. We'd love to host it in Marshfield as well, and then potentially even up in Wausau to spread it around the region a bit.
And what time is it start again tonight at MSTC?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. And that is the Rapids Mid-State that it's taking place at.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. Make sure to we'll get some people to show up and bring their ideas. And I'm looking forward to talking more about these events as we go forward. I think it's a really good idea and a really great way to, you know, not only help people get their ideas out there, get that experience, but maybe even help out our economy in some ways. You know, I mean, this has a domino effect to it. That's pretty darn cool. That is great. Thank you for bringing that to us, Kayla.
It absolutely does. Yes. Thanks for the opportunity.
Before we wrap up, do you want to remind everybody again about Science by the River? Where is it taking place? When is it taking place, Kayla?
It is taking place along the Wisconsin River in downtown Wisconsin Rapids this Saturday, and that is from 11 to 2.
Be sure to show up, make plans to be there, everybody, whether you can stop at every station or just a couple of them. And when you're doing so, be sure to, you know, thank the people at these stations and thank them for their time doing this and everything. They're fellow citizens, fellow people, lovers of science. And we appreciate them taking the time out of their Saturday to be able to hang out with us and really educate and have some fun with our community. Kayla, if people have follow-up questions or want to know more, how can they get in touch with you?
They can reach out on Extension Wood County's Facebook page or on our website. If you search for Extension Wood County, that will come up. And we'd be happy to take questions or give people more information.
And as always, Kayla, don't be a stranger. Let us know with any of these events coming up. You want to join us, even call in or something like that on one of our morning shows. The door is always open for you guys at Extension, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you so much, James. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. You take care.
Sounds good. You too.
And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Worldwide Schoolhouse behind is the birthplace of the Republican Party. Executive Director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, Mandy Kimes.
Whether you love politics or you aren't even interested, there is something here because those ideals and values and lessons and courage can influence us today to be active citizens and to be willing to take a stand. And really, ordinary people in an ordinary place doing extraordinary things.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Folks, you're just not going to want to miss this. I've got an incredibly special interview with Illinois Senator and Purple Heart Award recipient Tammy Duckworth.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden toured hurricane-battered areas of Florida and Georgia today, promising as much federal assistance as needed.
We're really in this together. We're a separate state. We're the United States of America.
The death toll from Hurricane Helene is now at 206. Countries are scrambling to get their citizens out of Lebanon using planes and ships as the fighting continues between Israel and Hezbollah. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
We are working with airlines to block seats for U.S. citizens. We are also working to increase the commercial capacity by organizing additional flights.
Jolene Kent reports on how retailers are dealing with the dock worker strike.
Costco, for example, said on its recent earnings call that the company has shipped to get holiday goods into the United States ahead of the strike. But, you know, small and medium sized businesses may not have the resources and they may not be as lucky.
The strike is now in its third day. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Democratic nominee for president visits the birthplace of the Republican Party today. Vice President Kamala Harris campaigns in Ripon. It's Harris' fifth visit to Wisconsin since her campaign began in July. Donald Trump won Fond du Lac County by more than 15,000 votes 4 years ago. Trump campaigns in Juneau on Sunday. The vice president leads Trump in Wisconsin by 4 points in the latest Marquette poll. Poll director Charles Franklin says almost 100% of Democrats back Harris.
It's possible that we're overestimating just how loyal Democrats are. But the numbers, as you can see, have been pretty consistent for the last several polls. So there's reason to take them seriously.
Meanwhile, Tammy Baldwin has a 7-point lead over Eric Hovde in the race for U.S. Senate. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Public health vending machines are now available across Wood County communities. These vending machines provide free, high-quality health and safety supplies to anyone in need. The Wood County Health Department announced the placement of the machines in strategic locations across the county. In Wisconsin Rapids, vending machines are placed near Aftermath Tattoo, Mid-State Technical College, and the Wood County Riverblock Building. In Marshfield, they're at Mid-State, the Family Health Center, and St. Vincent de Paul. The machines are stocked with a wide range of health-related items, such as CPR kits, Narcan, fentanyl and xylazine test kits, first aid kits, and more. These items are free and available to those who need them. There's electronic recycling tomorrow at the Adams Columbia Electric Cooperative Friendship Office from 10.